The headlines, over a dozen Palestinians are killed in new Israeli attacks on Gaza, where the death toll has already passed 24,700. Mexico and Chile refer Israel's war on Gaza to the ICC over escalating violence against Palestinian civilians. And the Yemeni army says it has targeted an American ship in the Gulf of Aden with appropriate naval missiles in response to U.S.-led airstrikes on the country. Hello and welcome, everybody. 105 days into the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, the regime continues with its carpet bombing campaign across the besieged Palestinian territory. In the latest such attacks, at least five people were killed in an Israeli airstrike on a residential building in Khan Yunes, southern Gaza. Another 12 lost their lives in a strike at an apartment near Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. The latest casualties bring to more than 180 the number of Palestinians killed in Israeli raids across Gaza over the past 24 hours. The raids were conducted under the cover of a near-total communications blackout. The overall death toll from the regime's war has passed 24,760. Meanwhile, a UN rights expert has said what Israel is doing in Gaza is a violation of international law and is highly illegal. South African politician and youth activist Mohammad Khaled Said has talked to us about the Israeli genocide in Gaza. He also explains why the regime is imposing a communications blackout there.
Because this is a genocide. The pictures are here. The death toll speaks to it. But even within that context, the people of Gaza and the resistance and Hamas in particular have put up a brave fight and they continue to resist. And we want to commend them for that. Without Iran, this particular axis giving support to the suffering people of Gaza and to the resistance in Gaza will not be possible. The aim of the Israeli regime in carrying out this particular blackout is so that they can suppress the information coming out of Gaza, so that their crimes, their atrocities, their genocide cannot be sent out to the rest of the world. But still, the information is at our disposal. So that's their objective. But also, you know, regimes like the Israeli regime, especially the one led by Benjamin Netanyahu, does not always even think rationally, even in terms of their own interests. Yes, the interest is to obliterate, to flatten Gaza, to kill each and every Palestinian living in Gaza. But the blocking out of communication, they see it as part of that, but they do not understand that this is simply backfiring. It's making the Israeli regime yet again look like a regime that wants to close out each and every communication.
Israel confirms new military losses and clashes with Palestinian resistance fighters in the Gaza Strip. The military says an Israeli trooper died of wounds he sustained in battle in southern Gaza on Wednesday. These reservists were also wounded seriously in the north and center of the Gaza Strip. According to the Israeli military, a total of 191 soldiers have been killed in the ground invasion of Gaza. Palestinian resistance groups, however, say the toll is much higher as Israel hides the real number of its military losses. In the meantime, the military wing of Palestine's Hamas resistance movement has said that their fighters targeted a Merkava tank with three soldiers aboard. The Al-Qassam brigades also detonated the mouth of a tunnel in a Gaza City neighborhood as a group of Israeli infantries were there. Mexico and Chile have referred Israel's war on Gaza to the International Criminal Court. The two countries say the referral is because of escalating violence against civilians in Gaza, especially children. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has welcomed the move by Mexico and Chile. The ministry said the referral confirms the ICC's need to fulfill its mandate by deterring and prosecuting the most serious crimes. Last week, South Africa also presented a case at the International Court of Justice over the Gaza war. The case said Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, demanded the ICJ order an emergency suspension of the regime's military campaign there. A large number of countries backed South Africa's move. Like many countries around the world, Austrians have also held rallies to express solidarity with Palestinians. In Gaza, people took to the streets defying a ban on such demonstrations. Our correspondent in Vienna has asked some Austrians about media bias and the lack of coverage of pro-Palestine voice. Let's take a listen.
Since I am mainly influenced by Austrian television, I think it is very one-sided. I read a lot of international newspapers, and the reporting there is entirely different than on Austrian television. Namely, it is not as one-sided. In Austria, there is much reporting from Israel's perspective, and the situation in the Gaza Strip is only featured in very few media outlets. Above all, there is hardly any information about what the civilian population in Gaza is doing.
When you come in maybe Austria, it's a bit biased, yeah. Also, the main source where you can, nowadays, where you can find the truth is through social media, because now you have access to information from there also, and people see the truth, and you can see the murder of the child, the children in Gaza, what you cannot see in the media. The decision taken in UN also that are hiding for people, and you can see it through social media. Yeah, that is my opinion. There's some media have a hide agenda. Yeah, some of them, not all of them.
I miss the media coverage of the background to the conflict, the history, the connections. Horrible images are shown enough, but not enough information is given to the people about what led to the war and the attacks. I can hardly manage to watch all the hardship and atrocities in the reports about the war. Overall, I am very skeptical about the media coverage. I have the feeling that the reporting is very one-sided, only presenting Israel's perspective. I do not want to defend violence, but there is a reason why this all happened. If you constantly maltreat someone, then of course you have to expect a backlash at some point. The way Israel is reacting here with such exaggeration is nothing other than genocide. I admire South Africans who have the courage to call out Israel. In Austria, the media does not have the courage to do this.
I feel like the news in the West is too pro-Israel. There is also a lot of fake news on X and Twitter. To better understand the situation, people should see more of the gruesome images of violence and suffering in Gaza.
Well, the Yemeni army says it has targeted an American ship in the Gulf of Aden in response to U.S.-UK strikes on the Arab country.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a targeting operation against an American ship Kame Ranger in the Gulf of Aden with several appropriate naval missiles, resulting in direct hits.
Saadi described as inevitable Yemen's retaliation for the aggression by the U.S. and the U.K. He added that any new strike on Yemen won't go unanswered and unpunished. The U.S. has confirmed the attack on its ship. The Pentagon says it was the third attack by the Yemenis this week on U.S.-owned vessels in and around the Red Sea. That's a crucial lane for international trade, where tensions have been spiking over the last 2 months. Yemen has been attacking Israeli-linked ships in retaliation for the regime's genocide in Gaza. The tensions in the Red Sea have escalated further in the past week after the U.S. and U.K. began airstrikes on Yemen, citing what they called threats to international shipping. Well, thousands of people have hit the streets of Yemen's northern city of Sa'ada to voice support for Palestinians in the wake of Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. The demonstrators waved Palestinian and Yemeni flags, chanting, "The U.S. is the mother of terrorism." The slogan is a reminder of Washington's unequivocal support for Israel as well as its aggression against Yemen. The protesters also slammed the U.S. move to redesignate Yemen's Ansarullah movement as a terrorist group. For weeks, Yemenis have been holding nationwide rallies every Friday in a show of support for the people of Gaza. Academic and political analyst Hakimeh Salehi Bedia is joining us now from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Ms. Bedia, welcome to the program. First of all, let's start off with the news that we just had about yet again massive demonstrations taking place in cities across Yemen, specifically the northern city of Sa'ada. What do you make of these massive demonstrations in support of the Palestinians in Gaza, and also denouncing the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide on Gazans.
This is what we are witnessing in Yemen is actually the most exemplary case of the people of the world rising against an unjust world order, and a world order that has given rise to complete, full-blown genocide in Gaza. The people of the world are doing that, but the people of Yemen are exemplary in this case. They have been under, so much pressure for the past decade. They have experienced everything that is happening in Gaza firsthand. You know, they have had their own round of humanitarian crisis backed by the very U.S. government that is committing this, round of violence against Yemen, just because Yemen is doing its part in trying to basically end the genocide that is going on in Gaza. What the Yemeni, forces, the Houthi forces want is a ceasefire in Gaza. If that happens, everything is going to stop. And of course, the United States government is not ready to do anything for that to happen, for the ending of the violence and the genocide that is happening in Gaza. So the people of Yemen are showing to the world what everyone has to do. And of course, we are seeing, similar scenes around the world in different, countries, especially in Western countries. People are in unison. They have the same opinion that this, corrupt and this unjust world order has to come to an end. When there is no other way to put an end to an ongoing genocide, what should governments do? What should people do? And this is what we are seeing in Yemen, that the Houthi, forces are doing their part, and the people of Yemen are doing their part in the streets, giving their full support to, their representatives, and showing to the world that they are still steadfast, even though they have been under so much pressure, as I said, for the last 10 years, having their own humanitarian crisis and having their own, rounds of attacks by outside forces backed by the U.S. government.
Well, the Yemeni army also said it's targeted American ship in the Gulf of Aden in response to the U.S.-UK strikes on the Arab country. Please give us your thoughts in that aspect as well. Also, if you may, give us your perspective on this defiant message that the Yemeni armed forces has been giving to the likes of the United States in spite of their so-called coalition in that area.
As I said, the Yemeni forces, the Houthi forces, are actually showing to the world that the reality, that there are two forces to this conflict. It is not just Israel that is, to blame for what is going on in Gaza. The United States is the real culprit. If the United States support for Israel was not there, this whole, genocide had been ended long before. We wouldn't be in this situation where we have more than 24,000 people, innocent children, women, and men killed, and many others under the rubble, the United States watching the whole thing and actually supporting it. So the Yemeni people and the Yemeni, the Houthi forces are actually showing to the world that this is the two sides of the conflict, and they are ready to do their part, which is to make the United States responsible for what it is doing. So if the United States wants this to end, there is one simple solution, and that is do something for the ceasefire, to be on the table.
Thanks a lot, academic and political analyst Hakim Salehbedia, joining us from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Well, the United States has relisted Yemen's Ansar Allah movement as a global terrorist group over attacks against Israeli-linked ships in the Red Sea. Yemeni citizens have spoken about the U.S. move, as well as the ongoing strikes by Washington and London against their country.
Who
They can hit as much as they want. We are ready to support the Palestinian cause until the last breath. We, along with the generations after us, will continue to confront them.
Their repeated attacks will never deter us. America has been striking us for a long time. The aggression against us is veiled under the name of the Saudi and Emirati aggression, but America has been bombing us for a long time.
This decision is a political move to cover up Israel's crimes. Claiming that we are a terrorist group is to justify the airstrikes on Yemen and Palestine.
This decision is not new. It's not an objective decision and is not based on any real evidence, because this decision was made before. This classification was approved during the era of former US President Trump, then the Houthis were removed from the terror list. This proves that it was a decision that was not based on practical reality. Rather, this indicates that the US makes these decisions to blackmail people and to use the decision like a sword against anyone who stands against American and Israeli interests.
The Iranian military has launched day two of air defense drills marked by a variety of exercises. The maneuvers featured operations using air defense systems to counter electronic and cyber attacks. Participating troops practiced shooting down targets at low altitude using, for the first time, a domestically developed short-range air defense system called the Ninth of Day. Units involved in the drills also used drones to electronically disrupt radars as well as air reconnaissance systems. The maneuvers also involved intelligence satellites, unmanned aerial vehicles, and air defense radars. Intelligence gathering systems were used as well to spot and take out mock enemy targets. The drills are carried out jointly by the Iranian Army and Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
The Secretary General of Lebanon's Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, said Hassan Nasrallah says the Israeli regime is concealing its heavy losses in the war it is fighting on the border with Lebanon. Also, the United Nations humanitarian chief says famine is around the corner in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Secretary General of Lebanon's Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, said Hassan Nasrallah says the Israeli regime is concealing heavy losses that it has suffered in the war on the border with Lebanon. Said Hassan Nasrallah made the remark in a televised speech on Friday, 5th of January, as he addressed the memorial ceremony for the late Hezbollah official Mohammad Yaghi Abu Salim in Lebanon's eastern city of Baalbek. Hezbollah leader said Hassan Nasrallah also offered his condolences on the martyrdom of Saleh al-Aruri, the deputy head of the Hamas Politburo, in an Israeli drone strike in southern Beirut, as well as the martyrdom of scores of Iranians in Daesh-claimed twin bomb attacks in the southern Iranian city of Kerman. The killing of Sheikh Saleh al-Aruri will undoubtedly not go unanswered or unpunished. The decision lies in the hands of the field, and it will undoubtedly be implemented, Nasrallah warned. The leader of the Lebanese Hezbollah movement, Said Hassan Nasrallah, also said remaining silent about such a grave violation would expose all of Lebanon to greater harm than any potential risk from responding in the battlefield. Nasrallah pointed to Lebanon's war in its southern areas with Israel since early October and said, the resistance movement has carried out hundreds of anti-Tel Aviv operations in support of Palestinians and the resistant groups of the Gaza Strip. Since 8th of October, we have entered into the battle with the Israeli enemy all along more than 100 kilometers of the southern front, Nasrallah warned. He said the Islamic resistance in Lebanon carried out more than 670 operations within 3 months. And 48 border sites were targeted more than once. Nasrallah said the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah also targeted the technical and intelligence equipment in the north of the occupied Palestinian territories and completely destroyed them, stressing that a large number of Israeli vehicles and tanks were also destroyed along Lebanon's border with occupied Palestine. Nasrallah cited reports by Israeli health officials that the real death toll was 3 times higher than what the Israeli army has admitted to, and that there are over 2,000 Israeli casualties in 8 hospitals in northern occupied Palestine. What is happening at the southern border was described by one of Israel's former war ministers as a humiliation, the Hezbollah leader said. Severely affected by its heavy losses, the Israeli enemy does differentiate between dead or the wounded, and this part of its policy of general secrecy about its losses. Nasrallah underlined that the operations were very exhausting for the enemy, who exercised secrecy over its great losses. Said Hassan Nasrallah pointed out that one outcome of the fighting on the southern front was the displacement of Israelis from northern settlements, reversing the historical trend where Lebanese people were displaced during multiple wars. This displacement is expected to exert psychological, political, and security pressure on the enemy's cabinet, along with increasing anxiety on the northern front, he said. Nasrallah also emphasized that the ongoing battle in southern Lebanon and northern occupied Palestine provided a historic opportunity for the full liberation of Lebanon. We find ourselves at a historic juncture, presenting a unique opportunity to fully liberate every inch of Lebanese land and establish an equation that safeguards our country's sovereignty, an opportunity initiated by the blessings of the Lebanese front, he said. The resistance's operations along the southern border confirmed the deterrence equations with the Zionist enemy, and the chance to establish an equation preventing any encroachment on Lebanon's sovereignty. Since 8th of October, the day after the Israeli regime started its war in Gaza, the frontier between Lebanon and the Israeli-occupied territories have seen deadly exchanges of fire, mainly between the Israeli army and the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah. Reports say Israel has repeatedly used U.S.-supplied internationally banned white phosphorus bombs in its attacks on Lebanon. Reptiles. Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations humanitarian chief Martin Griffiths says Gaza is a place of death and despair for Palestinians as the Israeli regime continues its attacks on hospitals in southern Gaza. Heavy bombardments have been reported near Deir al-Balah, including at the Nusayrat, al-Maghazi and al-Buraj refugee camps in Gaza, as the Israeli army tries to evacuate southern Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, Lebanon has filed an official complaint to the United Nations Security Council saying that the Israeli regime has fired 6 missiles in the attack that killed top Hamas official Saleh al-Aruri. At least 22,600 Palestinians have been killed and 57,910 others have been wounded in the ongoing Israeli war on Gaza, which started on 7th of October. The revised death toll for the Israeli regime stands at 1,139. Tensions simmer in the occupied West Bank of the River Jordan, with the Israeli military carrying out a series of raids and Israeli settlers shooting a young Palestinian man in the town of Sarif near Al-Khalil in the occupied West Bank. An 11-year-old Palestinian boy was also hospitalized after being lightly wounded with shrapnel during an earlier raid in Yabad. The United Nations humanitarian chief Martin Griffiths says Gaza Strip is becoming uninhabitable amid Israel's ongoing onslaught, with famine right around the corner as the Palestinian population struggles with record food insecurity. Also, the leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, Said Hassan Nasrallah, says Lebanon would be exposed if the armed group did not respond to the killing of Saleh al-Aruri in Beirut. Israel's war minister, Yoav Gallant, says Israel is closer than ever to conflict with Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah. Flooding in northern Gaza has brought additional misery to the Palestinian refugee camps heavily damaged by Israeli airstrikes, with water and raw sewage seeping into public facilities. Also, flooding in northern Gaza has brought additional misery to the Palestinian refugee camps heavily damaged by Israeli airstrikes, with water and raw sewage seeping into public facilities. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations humanitarian chief Martin Griffiths has described Gaza as uninhabitable 3 months into Israel's devastating war on the territory. In a grim assessment of the devastating impact of Israel's war on Gaza, which started on 7th of October, Martin Griffiths says Gaza's 2.3 million people face basic threats to their very existence. He says tens of thousands of Palestinians, mostly women and children, have been killed or injured. Families are sleeping in the open as temperatures plummet and areas where Palestinians were told to relocate have now been bombed. Martin Griffiths reiterated the United Nations demands for an immediate end to the war in Gaza and release of all captives, declaring that it is time for the international community to use all its influence to make the ceasefire in Gaza happen.
Rabbana. Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah, and we ask Him the Almighty to send His veneration, peace, and blessing to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his pure progeny wa ahli baytihi alayhi salam. We have been talking about the dua 11th of Sahifa Sajjadiya, where Imam Zainul Abidin, the author of this great book, is teaching us or drawing a beautiful image of what is the good outcome, what is aqibatul khair, what is having a perfect ending in this life of dunya. Or in a less complicated way to say, for us to understand what causes the peace of mind, what causes that tranquility, that calmness that you see in someone, especially amongst the mu'mineen. What causes that? Imam draws a very beautiful image for us for that purpose or aim to get towards. Imam says, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنْ قَدَّرْتَ لَنَا فَرَاغًا مِنْ شُغْلٍ فَاجْعَلْهُ فَرَاغَ سَلَامَةٍ. O Allah, if you have ordained or have given us or have included in our sustenance idleness or a break from these occupations of dunya, make that break or make that idleness one of safety within which no ill consequence visits us. Imam says, O Allah, if you have given us a break, a time that we have for our own to relax, for ourselves to focus and rejuvenate, then fill that in with your remembrance. Let's take a break and come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
All right, we're back with the program Bridge. We are talking about the 11th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya. Imam alayhi salam in this dua says, فَإِنْ قَدَّرْتَ لَنَا فَرَاغًا مِنْ شُغْلٍ فَاجْعَلْهُ فَرَاغَ سَلَامَةٍ. If we have a break, let that break be a break of security and safety from illness and ill consequences. لَا تُدْرِكُنَا فِيهِ تَبِعَةٌ. No ill consequences or no bitter moments would visit us in that faragh, in that break. وَلَا تَلْحَقُنَا فِيهِ سَأْمَةٌ. Or weariness overtakes us, then hatta to the point that the writers of evil deeds may depart from us with a page empty of the mention of our evil deeds, and the writers of good deeds, those angels, may turn away from us, happy with the good deeds of ours which they have written. يَنْسَرِفُ عَنَّا كُتَّابُ السَّيِّئَاتِ بِسَحِيفَةٍ خَالِيَةٍ مِنْ ذِكْرِ سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَيَتَوَلَّا كُتَّابُ الْحَسَنَاتِ عَنَّا مَسْرُورِينَ بِمَا كَتَبُوا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِنَا. This is the part of dua that I believe draws us an image of what is aqibatul khair, what is the definition of peace of mind. Number one is that if we get a downtime, if we get a break, let that break in life be something that we spend it in safety, in health and security from all those concerns, anxieties, and stress from the whatever that is, from the incidents that are happening in the life of dunya. What I want to mention is that that tranquility or that peace of mind will not be obtained except by obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the consequences of disobeying Him, one of the consequences of sinning is that you lose your peace of mind. That tranquility will be taken away. Then you feel always stressed. Then you feel always drawn in worries and fears. One of the signs of mu'mineen in the Holy Quran, the awliya of Allah, is that they have no sorrow carried from the past, and they have no fear in regards to the future. Let's take a break and come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, we are back with the last portion of our session tonight. Imam alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make it to be destined for us, write it for us, so that anytime we have a break, we spend that break in happily moments for your cause, so that even the breaks that we have get us closer to you. Sometimes shaitan is waiting to trap us after we do something very important. For example, you get to pray Salatul Layl. The day after, Shaitan is waiting to take away all the rewards and all the good achievements that you have, to steal it away. It's a thief. It's a very smart thief. Shaitan is a very smart thief. What he does is that after you accomplish something good, he's there to take the results. He's there to take the production, the outcomes. You go to a majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and you go back home, and then there's a moment of test for you. You start showing anger to your family members, those who are under your wilaya. You're responsible for them, under your care. And all the rewards will be faded away, will be gone, will be missed. It's not there anymore. You've just lost it. You just lost it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that if we have faragh, if we have a break, if we have a moment of idleness in our lives, that moment does not mean a moment of heedlessness. Rather, that moments, or those moments even, need to take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like other days and other moments in life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواه کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the United States, according to a new ABC News Ipsos opinion poll, former President Donald Trump leads current President Joe Biden in a hypothetical 2024 matchup. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. ABC News has covered this story and tells us more. A new ABC News Ipsos opinion poll finds that the 2024 primary season begins with Donald Trump well ahead of his Republican opponents on key measures of popularity, while Joe Biden's job approval rating has dropped to a low for any president in the past 15 years. With the Iowa caucuses on Monday, 15th of January, the national survey finds that Donald Trump is especially well-rated by Republicans and Republican-leading independents. Trump also leads his Republican opponents by less of a margin, and 7 in 10 Republicans and GOP leaners report a favorable opinion of Donald Trump overall. In all, 72% of Republican-aligned adults would be satisfied with Donald Trump as the Republican nominee, similar to 75% in May. 61% will be satisfied with Ron DeSantis. Others score lower. Nikki Haley, only 48% of voters were satisfied with her. Vivek Ramaswamy, 44%. Chris Christie, who withdrew from the race, 23%. And Asa Hutchinson, 17%. Satisfaction is harder to find among political moderates, who account for about 3 in 10 Republicans and GOP leaners. They're 21 points less likely than conservatives to express satisfaction with Donald Trump, 30 percentage points on Ron DeSantis, and 22 percentage points on Vivek Ramaswamy. These gaps essentially disappear for Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, and Asa Hutchinson. Compared with Donald Trump on the Republican side, considerably fewer Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents will be satisfied with Joe Biden as their party's nominee, only 57%, a reflection of his weak ratings overall and on issues including the economy and immigration. The survey was produced for ABC by Langer Research Associates with fieldwork by Ipsos Public Affairs via its online probability-based knowledge panel. Past opinion polls used for comparison were conducted by telephone, with efforts in this study to minimize differences. That said, mood effects may be a factor in some cases. The survey, fielded in English and Spanish, includes a robust sample of 2,228 respondents. Donald Trump's advantages in the Republican contest are particularly striking in terms of perceived electability and leadership. 68% of Republicans and GOP-leaning independents said he's the candidate with the best chance of getting elected in November. That plummets to 12% for Nikki Haley, 11% for Ron DeSantis, and single digits for the rest. Nearly as many, 65%, pegged Trump as the strongest candidate in the GOP lineup, again dropping precipitously for his opponents. Fewer, but still 54%, say he's the candidate best qualified to serve as president. Fewer than half, 46%, say he best understands the problem of people like them, and essentially as many, 45%, pick Donald Trump as the candidate who best represents their own personal values. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley score in the teens on these measures. An additional 10% pick Vivek Ramaswamy as the candidate who best understands their problems. On all other measures, preferences for Ramaswamy, former candidate Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson are all in single digits. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley trailed Donald Trump in favorability as well. Compared with Trump's 71%, 60% of Republicans and Republican-leading independents see Ron DeSantis favorably, and 46% see Nikki Haley favorably. After all her months of campaigning, 22% still don't offer an opinion of Nikki Haley. It's 13% for Ron DeSantis and just 1% for Donald Trump. There are some notable differences among groups. Republicans and GOP leaners who have a four-year college degree are less likely than non-graduates to say that Donald Trump is best on each of the attributes tested. Most strikingly, just 27% of those with a college degree say Donald Trump best understands the problems of people like them, compared with 57% of those without a four-year degree. There's a similar 27 percentage point gap by education in saying that Trump best represents your own personal values, 24 percentage points in saying he's best qualified, 16 percentage points in seeing him as the strongest candidate, and 10 percentage points in seeing him as most electable candidate. Additionally, white evangelical Protestants, a core Republican group, are 11 percentage points less apt than their non-evangelical counterparts to say that Trump best represents their values, 40% versus 51%, a slight difference given sample sizes. At the same time, Trump's overall favorability rating is higher among evangelicals than in other religious groups, suggesting they're using a different gauge than shared values to assess him. Bloomberg News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Bloomberg News and Morning Consult poll have found that voters trust former President Donald Trump to navigate issues such as the war in Ukraine, the Israeli-Palestinian war, and China more than President Joe Biden. The new opinion poll found that more voters said they trust Donald Trump to handle relations between the United States and China. 46% said they trust Trump with the issue, while 34% said they trust Joe Biden more. 20% of respondents said they didn't trust either one of them to handle foreign policy with China. Similarly, the opinion poll found 45% of respondents said they trust Donald Trump to handle the Russia-Ukraine war. Joe Biden again earned less trust among American voters, with 34%. 21% said neither candidate is trustworthy to handle the Russia-Ukraine war. Slightly, the survey found more voters were undecided when it came to the Israeli attack on Gaza. 24% of respondents said they didn't trust either Donald Trump or Joe Biden to handle the unfolding conflict in West Asia. 43% said they trust Donald Trump to handle the Israeli war in Gaza, while 33% said they trust Joe Biden with the Israeli aggression. In a hypothetical 2024 matchup between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, more respondents chose Donald Trump. The former president earned 40% support in the theoretical election, while Joe Biden earned 38%. In another recently released CNN opinion poll, Donald Trump narrowly leads Joe Biden. It found that Trump polling at 49% to Joe Biden's 45% among registered voters in the hypothetical rematch between the 2020 election competitors. A New York Times Siena College poll has also found that Donald Trump leads Joe Biden in 5 out of 6 critical battleground states, which were deemed likely to determine the outcome of the 2024 presidential race. Both opinion polls found that Joe Biden is losing support with voters of color. Donald Trump is polling far ahead of the other Republican candidates who debated recently without him for the third time. During recent debate, candidates set themselves apart on foreign policy as they fielded questions about the war in Ukraine, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and China. The candidates disagreed about how to handle the war in Ukraine. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about extremism and why extremism is prohibited for the Shia. As you know, extremism or ghuluv is a problem which is very prevalent in
amongst the Shia in particular, but also amongst a lot of, you know, Muslims, and as well as a lot of the followers of all religions. Extremism, this stems from, you know, a lot of the virtues which have been narrated regarding, you know, the Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha, or, you know, the other prophets, you know, the virtues that have been related regarding them. Sometimes human beings have a tendency to exaggerate and to ascribe properties to these great people that, you know, that they didn't have. And actually properties that are, you know, exclusively belong to God. Like, for example, they might say that, you know, these beings were beings who created the universe, or that they should be worshipped, and so on and so forth. Right? These are incorrect, these kind of beliefs, and they should be eradicated and eliminated from our faith. You know, these are actually very haram and prohibited. In this connection, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam said the following: O community of the Shia, meaning the Shia of the household of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, be like the middle saddle cushion on which the extremist who has slid forward falls back, and with which the follower who is yet to come catches up. You know, it's been narrated from Imam Ali that he said, Halaka fiyya rajulan, two men were destroyed on my account. The first is the person who became angry at me, mubghizun qal, and said unbecoming things regarding me, and mufritun ghal. The other is the person who went to an extreme. The other is the person who went to an extreme and said things about me that were untrue. Right. So in continuation, Imam Baqir alayhi salam said the following: Upon hearing this, a man called Sa'd from amongst the Ansar asked him, May I be your ransom? Who is an extremist? The Imam replied, They are a group of people who say such things about us that we do not say about ourselves. Neither are these people from amongst us, nor do we associate ourselves with them. Then the man asked, Who is the follower that is yet to come? He replied, The one who is searching for good and wants it, and who will eventually attain it and be rewarded for it. Right? So we should try, not only should we avoid extremism and ghulu, we should also assist those who have become afflicted with this problem and try to bring them back towards a moderate, you know, belief. And also the people who are on the opposite end of the spectrum and do not believe in the virtues of the imams, the true virtues, we should also assist them and try to make them understand the virtues that the imams themselves have stated regarding themselves. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the prohibition of extremism for the Shia in the words of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali